Rabbi, so we were discussing yesterday the Gemara of Hamad Alf, which told us searching for a source for the Isser of Chametz, to own Chametz, to eat Chametz on Erev Pesach. Once Chatzos Hayom comes, that the assumption is that Chametz is Aser, but we're looking for a source for that. So we had one source from the Pasuk, Ach, Bayom Avishon, Tashbisa Somi Batechem. But on the fourteenth day, you should get rid of chametz from your homes. And the word ach comes to be mechalek, imply that it includes part of the day, but not the whole day. From which the Gemara derived that it's only from chatzos hayom and on. And then Rava derived it from the iser of having chametz present when one is shechting the carbon pesach, a pasuk that appears twice in the chumash, once in parshas kisis and once in parshas nishpatim. Loisishchat chametz dam zivchi. You're not allowed to have the chametz around while you're shechting the carbon pesach. So the Gemara said, okay, so let everyone get rid of their chametz before they bring their own private carbon pesach. And the Gemara said, no, it's talking about zman shechita kamar. Once the time for the shechita of the carbon pesach has arrived, you can't have chametz present anymore. But the zman of the shechita is a little bit after chatzos, because first you have to bring the carbon tumid, and then you can bring the carbon pesach. So Tosfos said, no, since b'diavad you can bring the carbon pesach right away after chatzos, you can bring it before the tumid shobeinu arbaim. So that's when the zman of iser chametz begins to apply. So we began to suggest yesterday that it could be that the day of erev pesach, where there's a zman of iser chametz, and because it's a function of the fact that we're going to bring the carbon pesach, it's not just kind of a technicality that you can't have chametz around when you're bringing the carbon pesach. Perhaps the day of the bringing of the carbon pesach, at least from the afternoon on, becomes its own independent yontif. Now it's true we typically don't find a yontif that starts in the middle of the day, but maybe this is the exception to the rule, that since you could bring the carbon pesach from the middle of the day and on, this becomes its own independent yontif, clearly related to the 7 days of pesach that will follow. But somehow acquires its own independent status, and therefore there's an Isser Chametz already from Chatzos Hayom and on as part of the Chag HaPesach as opposed to Chag HaMatzos. We discussed how the Parashas HaMa'adim begins describing, delineating all the Yomim Tovim not with Chag HaMatzos, the first Yom Tov of the year, but rather with Chag HaPesach, which seems to imply that Chag HaPesach, the day of the bringing of the carbon pesach, is its own independent Yom Tov. We suggested perhaps that's why he cancels Avelos, because it's one of the Mo'adim, and perhaps that's why there's an Isser Malacha. Already from Chatzai Sayyam and on, Tosfos claimed there's an Isser Midrais, and the Rambam compared it to Malacha and Chalamoid. So it seems to be that these two things, Erev Pesach and on acquires its own status as a kind of a quasi-yontif. Why should Erev Pesach, the day of the bringing of carbon Pesach, acquire a status of a quasi-yontif any more than the bringing of any other carbon? So this was a topic I heard one of my years in the Kollelium. We learned Pesachim with Rabbi Rosenzweig, Rabbi Willig. So I remember Rabbi Rosenzweig carrying on about this topic for a long time. He was adamant that he was the one who developed this running theme that Erev Pesach is its own independent yontif called Chag HaPesach versus Chag HaMatzos, which is the following 7 days. And he suggested why Erev, he collected all the different indications that Erev Pesach is its own independent yontif. And he suggested perhaps it's because the Karban Pesach has a different status, a different role in Judaism than all of the other karbanos. For example, the pasuk says in Parshas Boy, I think I put it on the sheet yesterday, ki yagur itchem ger vasisa pesach l'Hashem. When a ger will dwell amongst you, so you should bring a Karban Pesach. First, when that ger comes to convert, he should bring a carbon pesach like all of the other citizens of Klal Yisrael. So the Rashi there writes, I think it was on the sheet from yesterday, I don't know what I did with mine. Do I have it? I think I put it on the sheet from yesterday. We'll read the pasuk. Am I wrong? Anyone have the sheet? Ah, here it is. Yeah. Rashi. And Parashas Bo, v'chi yogur itcha ger v'asa pesach l'Hashem, v'haya kezrach ha'oretz. And he'll be like one of the citizens of Kol Yisrael. So Rashi says, yochol kol mizgayir yasa pesach miyad. You might have thought anybody who converts should bring a carbon pesach right away, even if he converts not in Nisan. He could convert in Mar Cheshvan. He could convert in Iyar. Convert in Tammuz. He would have to bring a carbon pesach. That's what the pasuk implies. V'chi yogur itcha ger v'asa pesach l'Hashem. He should bring a carbon pesach. So says Rashi, Yochol kol mizgayir yasa pesach miyad, tamalon mevahaya kezrach haaretz. No, he should be like all of the citizens of Klal Yisrael. Ma ezrach bar ba'asav ger bar ba'asav. So just like everybody only brings it on the 14th, so to the ger, the converts, should only bring it on the 14th of Nisan. But the Meshach Chachma here writes, it sounds like at least the Havamina of the Medrash, which Rashi here is quoting, is that the carbon pesach is somehow related or critical ingredient to converting to be part of the Jewish people. You must bring a carbon pesach. So I might have thought, even if the fellow converts, hold on, my internet, I lost you. I might have thought, even if the fellow converts in Talmud, even if he converts in Chodesh Av, he has to bring a Karban Pesach immediately. It's such a critical ingredient to being part of the Jewish people. You have to bring a Karban Pesach. You just can't be Jewish without bringing a Karban Pesach. Kamash Mulam, no, he only brings it on the 14th of Nisan. But I might have thought it was such a critical component to being Jewish that everybody has to bring a Karban Pesach. So the Meshach Chachma suggests a Chiddush Ladina, that one of the components of Geirus is a Karban. We don't practice this anymore. We only do Mila and Tefila and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. We don't do the critical component of the carbon anymore because it's not possible. But at the time that the carbon is possible, it's an indispensable part of Geirus. You can't do without it. So the Meshech Chachma suggests perhaps instead of, though, the carbon Geirus, a person could bring the carbon Pesach. The carbon Pesach might, in fact, serve in the place of the carbon that was offered by every Geir. So even if he converts in Talmud, he converts in Chodesh Av, if he would bring a carbon Pesach, that can, in fact, serve in place of his Karban Geirus. Why? Why? Why should the Karban Pesach occupy such a central role that a person can't be Jewish without a Karban Pesach? So perhaps it's because the Karban Pesach, and Rosenzweig suggested this, the Karban Pesach really defines our relationship with the historical narrative of Klal Yisrael. Right? Avraham Avinu performed Bris Milah, this coming week's Parsha, as a symbol of his personal covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He discovered a Kadosh Baruch Hu on his own, and he established that relationship, or cemented that relationship, by doing a Bris Milah. However, and every Jew, right, when he comes to be part of, or every any guy, when he comes to be part of the Jewish people, has to perform a Bris Milah too, because that symbolizes his own personal discovery and bond, that's intimate between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then, every Jew also has to bring a Karban Pesach, which doesn't have to do with his own personal connection and discovery of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but has to do with the historical narrative of the Jewish people and our history and all that we've been through. So every Ger has to have this dual relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, one as an individual and a second as part of the larger story of the Jewish people, which has ups and downs, which has Golos and Geula, which has, Avdos of Mitzrayim, but also the Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf. He has to identify and recognize all of that. And that's why these are two critical components of being Jewish, and that's why the Karban Pesach occupies such a central role. In fact, we were redeemed from Mitzrayim right in the discourse of these two mitzvahs, of Dam Pesach and Dam Milah, as the Pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel, right? V'amaloch b'domai chayi, you shall live by your blood, you shall live by your blood. What is that referring to? The Medrash says, referring to Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. According to Targum Yonasan, they put on their doorposts not only the Karban Pesach, right, during Makkos Bechoros that protected them, not only the Karban Pesach, but they mixed it with the blood of Bris Milah. So it was these two mitzvahs, that of Pesach, that of Bris Milah, that protected them in Mitzrayim, and that ultimately made them, or transformed them, into the Jewish people. A personal relationship with Hashem, together with the collective, with the communal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. These are the only two mitzvahs asay that carry with them a punishment if you don't fulfill them. Right? Every other mitzvah asay, lulav, matzah, if you don't do it, near Hanukkah, if you don't do it, there's no punishment. You missed an opportunity to do a good thing, but there's no punishment that goes along with it. However, Karban Pesach and Bris Milah are the only two mitzvahs asay that if you don't fulfill them, there's a punishment of kares. You're cut off from the Jewish people. Why is there a punishment associated with these two mitzvahs asay? Because these are critical components of the outlook of the hashkafa of a Jew. The first is a personal relationship with Hashem. The second is through the context and the lens of the community, represented by the Karban Pesach. So if you don't perform them, you just can't be part of the Jewish people, and that's why there's kares that goes along with Bris Milah, goes along with Karban Pesach. So Karban Pesach really occupies a very central role in our hashkafa. It's what saved us in Mitzrayim, and it's what every person has to accept when they come to be part of the Jewish people. Rav Salvezik had a fantastic pshat. The Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos that when a ger comes to convert, and Daf Mem Zayin, when a ger comes to convert, so we say to him, don't you know the Jewish people are now, usually nowadays, they come to convert to marry a Jewish spouse. That's why they come to convert. But if the Jew, if the non-Jew would be coming to convert, and on the face of it, so we would say to him, why are you coming to convert? So he'll tell us now, I'm coming to convert to marry a Jewish spouse. But we say, why are you coming to convert? Don't you know the Jewish people in our world are downtrodden, are persecuted, are kicked from place to place? Dechuyim, dechufim, miturafim. We're constantly on the go. We're constantly getting evicted and trying to find new homes. We live in the galus. So why do you want to be part of the Jewish people? So if he says, Yodei ani veini chidai, he says, I know about this and I'm not worthy. So then we can accept him. The Gemara says, "Makabel lo samiyad." We accept him right away. But initially, we discourage him from being part of the Jewish people. And we tell him about our long and difficult history. So the Rishonim ask, "Why do we do this?" So the most obvious answer is because we don't want people converting for ulterior motives, because we suspect that they're not going to be sincere in accepting the mitzvahs. And if you don't accept the mitzvahs, the geir is titanish. It doesn't mean anything. So, you know, you can convert to marry a Jewish spouse if you legitimately and sincerely accept to do the mitzvahs, even though that's not what brought you there was a theological and philosophical quest. But what brought you there was another thing. But Lamaisa, if you're here and you accept the mitzvahs, you can become Jewish. So, but we don't want those kinds of converts that are coming to because there's a chusim in Eretz Yisrael and they get aliyah rights. You know, we don't want that because we're suspicious that they're not really going to accept the mitzvahs sincerely. So we discourage them, and we give them like a hard time to kind of push them away, while at the same time bringing them close. However, Rav Salvechik suggested a different shot. Rav Salvechik suggested, no, the reason why we say this to the ger when he comes to convert is not because we're discouraging him at all. We're telling him, if you want to be Jewish, you have to identify with this history of dechuyim, skufim, turafim. You have to identify that this is part of your now personal narrative, as well, is that, you know, you're also part of the Jewish people. So we tell him not only his own, about his own personal quest and, you know, convictions, but we want to know, about, you know, he has to be a part now of the context of the Jewish people and all that that entails. So that's why Karban Pesach is really something that's so different than all the other karbonos. It represents this kind of collective commitment to be part of a community and in serving the Ribbono Shel, not just as an individual all by yourself. So Rabbi Rosenzweig suggested that perhaps that's why, you know, we mentioned yesterday the Karban Pesach is brought outside of the context of the rest of the Karbonos. Most of the Karbonos are brought within the brackets of the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Beinu Arbaim. Every Karban can only be brought after the Tamid Shel Shachar and has to be completed before the Tamid Shel Beinu Arbaim. Karban Pesach is brought Dafka after the Tamid Shel Beinu Arbaim. Because, right, the Tamid Shel Beinu Arbaim says Beinu Arbaim as opposed to the Karban Pesach says Bo'erev and Beinu Arbaim. So it sounds like it's later on in the afternoon. Why? Why is the Karban Pesach brought outside of the context of all the other Karbanos? So that's why I suggested perhaps that it's because the Karban Pesach is different. The Karban Pesach is entirely different than all the other Karbanos. It doesn't serve the same purpose. This is more of a statement that we are, you know, we're committed to the serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, not as only as individuals represented by Bris Mila, but also as part of the collective of Jewish people. So perhaps that's why Karban Pesach is somewhat unique and generates its own holiday, because that's, you know, what the 14th of Nisan is all about. It's not just Chag HaMatzos and remembering the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, but we also have this commitment that precedes that on the 14th of Nisan, and since it has this independent significance, different than all the other karbonos. It's not just the karbon of the Yom Tov. It really defines the entire Seder. It defines, you know, what the Chag HaMatzos is all about. So that's why it perhaps it precedes it and actually generates its own Yom Tov. Anyway, fascinating suggestion. Okay, Rabbi, so let's continue on in the Gemara. Six lines from the bottom of Hamad Av. The Gemara quotes a third opinion about how we know that the Isser Chametz of owning Chametz, eating Chametz, begins on Erev Pesach, Acher Chatzos. The Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, you don't need all this. How are you supposed to burn, or how are you supposed to get rid of the chametz? You're supposed to burn it, and you're not allowed to burn things on Yom Tov. Kindling is one of the last of the Avos Melachos. So how are you allowed to burn the chametz on Pesach? Must be you're burning it before Pesach. So Rabbi Yossi, ainot tzarech. You don't need the other derivation from Losisha the Chametz Dam Zivki from the Karban Pesach because I have Ach. The post says Ach Biyamarisha Tashvishu Sormi Batecha May Erev or Eino Biyantiv. They're talking about an Erev Yantiv or Yantiv itself. Tamalama Ach Ach Chilek Ach comes to divide the day into half. Viibi Yantiv Atzma Mishari. But it can't be the first day of Yantiv. You can have Chametz half the day and you can't have it on the other half of the day. Ha Iskish Hashbasu Soru Achilas Chametz Achilas Chametz Achilas Matzah. Zinis of Achilas Chametz the entire day of the entire Yantiv of Pesach. So must be we're talking about Erev Yantiv. Okay. So fine, but we're Bekiva. Let's go back to Bekiva for a minute, and that's where the Gemara returns to. The Gemara says, Shmami no from Bekiva Tlas. We can learn from Bekiva's Pshat three things. What did Bekiva say? Bekiva said we can derive an Isser Chametz of owning Chametz, eating Chametz on Erev Pesach from the fact that it can't be this Ach Bayom Arishta, Shvish Shomi Batechem, can't be discussing Pesach itself. Why not? Because the mitzvah of Tashvisu is to burn the Chametz, and you can't burn Chametz on Pesach. It's an Isser of Havar. So Shema Amina Amid Rabbi Kiva Tlas. Shema Amina Amid Bir Chomitz El Sreifa. You see, Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Yehuda later on in the Mishnah, Mselchim and Chavala from an Aleph, that Bir Chomitz has to be done through consuming it in a fire. You can't, why? According to the Rabbanan, you can get rid of Chomitz. You can do Tashbisu on Shabbos or Yom to flush it down the toilet, crumple it up, throw it into the, into the sea. You can get rid of it in some other way. You don't have to burn it. Rabbi Kiva holds and Bir Chomitz El Sreifa. Shema Amina also, and therefore he said, must be, can't be discussing on Yontif, because otherwise it would be a malach of Havar. Shema Amina, Havar l'chalek yotzas. V'shema Amina lo emrin en ho v'hutra Havar l'tzorech, hutra nami shalor l'tzorech. So these are two really important statements that are Shas statements, which need to be just, unpacked for a minute. So what is over here, what does he mean, ho, we'll begin with ho v'hutra Havar l'tzorech, hutra nami Havar l'shalor l'tzorech. What is that talking about? That's really the concept of mitoich, what's known as mitoich shehutra l'tzayrach, hutra nami shalai l'tzayrach. Rabbi is saying it's found in the Gemara in Mesechtes Beitza. I gave it to you on the Marmukha. Here. Rabbi says, look at the Gemara in Beitza, and off your Beis Medav. Beishamai oimrim. Beishamai say, ein mertziyam lois halula v'loyas, lois hakatam lois halula v'loyas tasev retar l'rishus harabim. You're not allowed to take these items, which are mitzvah items, out into the rishus harabim on yontif. Beis hilo matirin. Beis hilo allow it. We don't say, since you're allowed to do haitzah for oichel nefesh needs, you're allowed to do it for non-oichel nefesh needs. So the Gemara says, whenever you have a malacha that could in theory be used for oichel nefesh, for food preparation, which of course is permitted on Yom Tov as opposed to on Shabbos. So since, because the Pasuk says, you're allowed to prepare food on Yom Tov, which involves cooking, which involves, in theory, other malachas, so those same malachas are permitted even for non-Eichel Nefesh needs, based on the principle known as Mitoich Shehutra L'Tzayrach Hutra Nami Shaloi L'Tzayrach. So the Gemara in Masechtas Ksubis applies this principle with regards to being Boyo Be'ilo Rishayna B'Yontif. Can you person get, you can't get married on Yontif, that's Eimar Arvin Simcha V'Simcha, but can you get married prior to Yontif and then have Be'a Rishayna on Yontif? So Gemara in that context brings up this principle as well, that that Mitaych, since certain things are Mutar, Letzarech Hutranami, since Shehutra Chabura, Letzarech, since making a wound is permitted, Letzarech Eichel Nefesh, Hutranami, Shalai Letzarech, we shall allow it for other needs as well. So that's the principle known as Mitaych, Ohio, Vehutra, Letzarech, Hutranami, Shalai Letzarech. So the Gemara says over here, if you would hold of Hutra, Mitaych, Shehutra, Letzarech, Hutranami, Shalai Letzarech, like Beis Hillel, so in Rabbi Kiva's argument, it doesn't make much sense. It doesn't hold water, because since you're allowed to kindle a fire, maybe not a new fire, but you can certainly transfer a fire on Yontif in order to cook, so why can't I transfer a flame in order to do the mitzvah of Tashbisu? So from the fact that Rabbi Kiva says it can't be Tashbisu, which has to be, fire applies to Yontif, it must be its Erev Yontif, because otherwise you wouldn't be allowed to burn it on Yontif. You see that he rejects the principle which was debated by Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. You see that he paskins like Beis Hillel, like Beis Shammai, that we don't accept the rule. We of course do accept this principle that once a malach is permitted for eichel nefesh, is permitted for non eichel nefesh purposes as well. The Gemara there says that there is some limitation to this. It has to be davar hashava l'chol nefesh. It has to be something, even what you're using it for now, right? It has to be that the malacha could once in a while be used for echol nefesh. And it has to be whatever you're using it for now, even if it's shaloi l'tzarech echol nefesh, at least has to have, some benefit. It has to be tzarech yomtif somewhat. And it has to be a tzarech yomtif that's shava l'chol nefesh. It has to be something that everybody needs or everybody enjoys. That's why the Gemara says, look over here, second line. Achash yoichol l'chol nefesh, says the Gemara, davar hashava l'chol nefesh. Even though we have this rule, mitoich shehutra havala tzarech, hutra nami shalom tzarech, nonetheless the pasuk says, achash yoichol l'chol nefesh, hu levado yosel lechem, since it says l'chol nefesh, davar hashava l'chol nefesh. It has to be something that everyone enjoys. What's something that everyone, does not enjoy? Most people, right? Most people are going to enjoy. There are certain things not everybody enjoys. Some people might enjoy it, and other people might not enjoy it, and therefore we don't say, we don't apply the rule. What's the Gemara's example? The Gemara gives the example of Mugmar. Can I give it to you over there? don't know, I didn't bring it up. But the Gemara in Ksubis there says on Zayin Amud Aleph that therefore Mugmar, which was smoking incense, is prohibited on Yontif. Even though, Mitoch Shehutra Havar Tzarech, Hutra Havar Shul Tzarech, since kindling is mutter for cooking, it's mutter for Na'a and Eichel Nefesh purposes too, not for smoking the incense. Why not? Smoking the incense was not Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. Not everybody enjoyed it. Not everybody enjoyed it. Parenthetically, that's why the carbon asanal says over here, Oizayin, Rabbi Zayin, that's why it's prohibited to smoke tabak. Anybody know what tabak is? Tabak. Oh, Rabbi Zayin, tabak. Tabak. Tabak is tobacco. So that's why he says it's prohibited to smoke tobacco on Yontif. If it was prohibited to smoke the incense, certainly it will be prohibited to smoke tobacco, which he already senses was not a healthy thing to do. But he says, even though it was very popular, it couldn't have been more popular than the tabak, so he says you're not allowed to do it. The Pnei Yehoshua says you are allowed to do it. He says that this is much more common than the incense, and the incense was really just for only enjoyment. He says over here, this helped the digestion of the food. That was a common misconception, that smoking tobacco helped the food digest. So he says over here, Oishches, the Pnei Yehoshua, and that Gemara and Shabbos, Vim Kei Nira, the Ishun HaTabak, Nami Havi Lebriya Saguf, La'akel HaMozun, HaSavos HaMaichol. Makes the food feel better. I don't know. Seems to think it's an appetizer, and it helps the food digest itself. The Bir Halacha actually quotes both opinions. Is one allowed to smoke on Yontif or not? Do we apply Mitarek Shehutra Havara L'Tzarech? Since Havara is Mutter for cooking purposes, it's Mutter for non-cooking purposes, such as smoking. It's 2 days over here in the Bir Halacha. Even though it is interesting, the Chafetz Chaim writes elsewhere, not in the Mishnah Berurah, that already in his time they knew smoking was somewhat unhealthy. He doesn't bring that up over here, la halacha. He assumed that, that it could still have been permitted because they weren't really aware of all the dangers that were involved in smoking on Yontif. Nowadays, of course, we all know the great dangers that are involved, and it's not only prohibited, perhaps, on Yontif, it's prohibited during the week, right? Through Shmarat HaMiyoid, Benav Shoseichem, and even the Paiskim, who initially took a little bit more of an ambivalent stance, like Rav Moshe and others, in later writings were much more clear, that because of the great dangers involved, that it would be something's prohibited. If someone is addicted already to smoking, and they didn't ask that shaila, but now they want to know, now that they're addicted to smoking, can they smoke on Yontif? That's an interesting shaila. So there are many who believe, no, if it's prohibited to smoke during the week, how could this be davar shavu l'chol nefesh? How could this be something that everyone enjoys? There are others who argue, Rav Sternbach or Bavadia argued, that since they're addicted to it already, it's going to ruin their Yontif if they're not going to be able to smoke, because they smoke every other day during the week, so now it's not, for smokers, it's Shavu L'Chol Nefesh to smoke on Yontif. So there are those that said that it should be, if one wanted to take a hardline stance, you'd say it's Aser, and now your addiction brought you to Chilul Yontif, because you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. How could this be Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, something everyone enjoys, if it's dangerous? Those that take a little bit more of a different posture on that issue, but certainly for us, this is something that we should stay away from during the week, let alone on Yontif. But because that's the rule, that's why the Gemara says in Shabbos Lamed Tesemet Aleph, is one allowed to heat up water to shower or to wash himself on Yontif. So cooking is permitted. Lo'echol nefesh, it should be permitted even for non-lo'echol nefesh purposes, as long as it's something that's universally enjoyed. So Beis Hillel said, Beis Shammai, of course, don't accept me, Tarek Shehutra L'Tarek Chutranami Shabbat L'Tarek, Beis Hillel do. So Gemara says in Shabbos, in Lamed Tesemet Aleph, that Beis Hillel allowed one to heat up water to wash his panav yad v'raglav, his face, his hands, and his feet, because that was something that was shavu l'chol nefesh. Not to wash your whole body in hot water, because they assumed that was not something that was shavu l'chol nefesh. Most people did not shower on a daily basis. So this was not something that was necessary, something that was universally appreciated. So you're allowed to heat up water to wash panav yad v'raglav, but not to wash your whole body. There are many that argue now times this has changed as well, just like the smoking went from one direction to the other. There are those that changed it. That probably depends on every generation. So to over here, there are those that claim that, just like we went in the Chumrah, perhaps we could go, the pendulum swings the other way too. We could go the Kula. If this becomes something which is now Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, something that is appreciated by everyone, maybe there's room to be lenient to heat up water in order to take a shower, even for a whole body, even though that's not something that at the time of the Gemara was appreciated by everyone. Nowadays, it might be appreciated by everyone. But we need to understand, what is this based on? Why, just because the malacha is mutter for eichel nefesh, food preparation, should it be mutter in other contexts? We'll have to see. It's a big machlekes harishonim. what is the basis for mitaych? Even if it is shavah l'chol nefesh, it is something that everyone appreciates. Why should it be mutter outside of the context of l'chol nefesh? A big machlokes rishonim. And as we'll see, that ties into this havara l'chalek yatzos, whatever that means. We'll have to get up to that and explain, put that into context, and we'll see the two topics are actually related. So, Mishra Marbaisa, we'll get back to this on Monday.